This morning, Ann and I were blessed for the worship time today. It floods your soul. Honey, stand up back there. That's my wife. My wife for 54 years. And the only one I've ever had and the only one I ever want, okay? Brother Joe and Charlotte and I run pretty close race right there as for a number of years married together. But Calvary Commission has always been a blessing. Brother Joe didn't tell you, I'm one of the board members of Calvary Commission and have been almost from the beginning of it. And we've made a number of mission trips together, experienced some things. And I originally was planning on going to Cuba with them this time, but they changed the original date a little bit, and I didn't have time to go to that and then turn around and make the trip to Honduras. So it was a joy to be able to pray for the group that is going, though. I've been blessed twice or three times that I've been with Calvary Commission or those affiliated with it to Cuba, and it's always been a tremendous blessing. I grew up on the farm up in Central Texas, Limestone County. Groesbeck was my home county seat, on a farm down on the Navasota River. And the home farm is still in the family. And Lake Limestone is built on the river now. But there's a story that goes along that years ago, and part of it is true, I suppose, because on our home place, there was an old Indian campground. And all of my years growing up, we found arrowheads, and if I'd have known then the value of them, I could retire. But I didn't do that. But they say that there came an Indian trader through the country, one back there, and he had some eggs, chicken eggs. And he told the Indians, if you would take these and set them, put them under some other, they'll hatch and you'll have some more chickens. Say, okay. And he came back sometime later, and he asked about the eggs. Where are the chickens? And the Indian said, they Navasot. In other words, they ate them. So that's where the river Navasota came for. They Navasot. I don't know if that's true or not, but I grew up on the banks of the Navasota River. When the Lord first began to deal with me, I was 17 years old when I made my call known to the ministry. When the Lord first began to speak to me, I thought I heard him say GPC, and I thought that meant go pick cotton. But he said, no, that means go preach Christ. And so I started pastoring my first church when I was 18 years of age, and my first church was my home church where I grew up in all of my life from a child on up. And I was down there back a few weeks ago in a preacher revival. Incident, it was a Baptist church. I tell them now I'm a Baptocostical, okay? And there was one person still living, still in that church, that was there when I pastored the church. He was 93 years old, still lived by himself, still drove his own pickup truck to church and everywhere else. And that was a real blessing to have somebody there that, you know, when you're 18 years old, I just graduated from high school, my first semester in college, and all the people in the church were 50 to 80 years old, and here I was, 18 years of age. But God honored that, and he let me make a lot of mistakes. I don't encourage it, incidentally. So, but the Lord made me let me make a lot of mistakes, and I learned from those mistakes. So I've been in the ministry 57 years. And God's been good all the way. The first portion of my years, my wife grew up in a pastor's home. Her father was a pastor. Her granddaddy was a pastor. Her brother is a pastor. I preached in his church last Sunday, incidentally. Her granddaddy was a pastor, all Baptist pastors. And so she came from she knew what she was getting into when she married a Baptist preacher. She was 18 one week out of high school, and I was 20 years old when we got married. It's been some tough days going to school, working. I've sold everything from vacuum cleaners to insurance, swept floors and bales department stores, and sold shoes on Saturday. But God has been with. And listen, young people, you're never too good to work. You're never too good to be bivocational. Paul was a bivocational man. He built tents and he preached. And sometimes we think we have to have everything together before we're able to preach or to go or to obey the Lord. But all you have to do is say, here am I, Lord. Send me. And the sending is up to him. But the first 15 years of my ministry, I was going to school, college, seminary, and all of those things. And the first 15 years was a Baptist pastor. But in 1968, I got hungry for the Lord. Really didn't know what I was hungry for. But somebody invited me to go to a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, which was just really strong back in those days, 1968. And I went. I saw something. I experienced something. I received a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I lasted 1 month, and the Baptist church said, You see, I was already doing missionary work. My salary was paid by the state missionary board. And before I could get to my father-in-law to tell them what had happened to it, it came out in our denominational paper, Pastor Speaks in Tongues. And by the time we were able to get to her mom and dad's house, they said, you can come if you don't talk about it. I mean, I'm not telling you something that's not true. We honored that for several years. And finally, they realized that we hadn't jumped off of the deep end somewhere and how God had blessed the ministry. So that's kind of my background. As Brother Joe shared with you, we moved to Tyler in 1974 in the fall. Our children were junior high and just early high school agers. And we planted Tyler Christian Fellowship here in Tyler, which is still a strong growing church. The associate pastor, Brother Joe Canal, is the pastor of it. But that's where I was when Brother Joe and I were over in India, and we had a little experience with malaria. But we don't have time to talk about that this morning. But it was in that time that people began to say, I don't suppose that you will ever go back to India or even the mission field. And you know, quite the contrary. It was during that time that the Lord spoke to me and said, when your memories are more than your dreams, you're finished. Listen, I don't care how old you are or how young you are. But I grew up in a strong Christian home. And I have a lot of good memories. Not any that I can consciously think of that I can say is a bad memory. But I said, Lord, I have a lot of good memories, but I can't base my life up on that because I have some dreams. And I'm not talking about daydreams or anything like that, but things I believe that God put into my spirit. I have some dreams in my spirit that I feel like God wants me to accomplish. And so it was when Brother Joe and I returned from India and I got out of the hospital after 20 days that I began to make arrangements to free myself from the church that I was pastoring. It took about a couple of years to do that. And we founded Outreach Christian Fellowship, which is a helping hand to missionaries. We handle their finances, their publications, and all of those things. So we have missionaries from Africa to China and Central and South America and all over. And God has been good. He really has. Have no regrets in anything. But listen, I want to encourage you this morning, as a lot of you I know from years in missions conferences here and just seeing you come up. Some of you are new. I don't know you. But I don't care what your history is. Your future is what God's looking at. Don't offer any excuses. Say, here am I, Lord. Send me. And it's amazing. I can tell you, it is amazing what the Lord has done and is doing through Calvary Commission. Brother Joe and Charlotte had the mantle fall on them, and they've never lifted it. So thank you, Brother Joe. You've been a strength and inspiration to my life and encouraged me along the way, and a great deal responsible for helping me get launched into what I'm doing today. Now, this morning, I want to share with you, in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, if you want to turn in and follow along with me, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 through 31, Israel was complaining that God was not aware of them, of their needs. They were complaining about how that they had been passed over. And this was God's reply through the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is passed over by my God? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Do you like that? The key to that verse that I just read, "But those who wait up on the Lord shall renew their strength." So many people today have lost their strength because they didn't wait up on the Lord. Now, wait doesn't mean that you just sit down and become inactive. Waiting on the Lord means you keep up with what you're doing while the Lord is preparing you for what he wants you to do. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." We're going to see how an eagle renews her new strength in a moment. So the ability to fly has captured man from all generations. I remember as a child watching the birds fly, especially the big bird, the vultures, the buzzards, and things like that. And just with the greatest of ease, it seemed like that they just circled around. And I always wanted to fly. And there came a day back in the early 70s that the Lord made it able, he made able for me to do that. So I became a private pilot. But I remember the day after having dual training and all of those things that my trainer stepped out of the plane at the end of the runway. He shut the door and said, "It's all yours." My first solo flight. I can still feel inside something kind of said to me, "You may be able to get it off the ground, but you'll never get it back down." That wasn't a very comforting thought. But I reached over and I pushed that throttle in, little 150 Cessna. It began to lift off the ground. And you know, and all of a sudden, I felt good. So I circled around the airport, lined up, redo produced power, and it just settled right in. Man, I said, I'm an A1 pilot. I have learned how to fly. There's something about a breaking loose from the gravity that stirs your soul on the inside. And that's what the Bible says. He said he would renew your youth like an eagle. Now, for years we didn't know what eagles were in this part of the country, but since we have so many lakes and what, I mean, all of us have seen lakes around here and eagles nesting and flying around. If you've been up through the Rockies and up into Alaska, Canada, you've probably seen eagles by the hundreds and thousands. But eagles are a fascinating bird. And God has made provision for us in his kingdom. That we need to be able to mount up with the wings of an eagle. Another illustration about eagles. It is said that they're early American Indians. One of them found an eagle egg out in the desert somewhere, and he brought it back to the house, and he had some prairie chickens. So he put the egg underneath the prairie chickens. And that prairie chickens hatched that eagle egg. I think it takes somewhere to 31 to 45 days for an eagle egg to hatch. And you know, that eagle grew up with the chickens. And that's some of our problems today. We have grown up with the chickens, not knowing that God made us to be eagles. Can't you imagine that eagle getting bigger and the little prairie chicken smaller and smaller, but he just scratching around in the dirt for bugs and worms and all of that kind of stuff. And maybe occasionally he would hear an unusual sound flying over, and he'd say, there's something about that sound. But I want to tell you, God didn't intend for you to be a chicken. He didn't intend for you to be scratching around in the dirt. He intended for you to stretch out those wings and begin to mount up. Begin to mount up. If you put an eagle on the flat surface, he'll never fly. That's why eagles build their nest in the highest tree or on the cliffs of the rock. Because in order to begin their flight, they have to jump off and begin to flap their wings. And then, but if you put him on a flat surface, he can fly. Don't that tell you something? You ever see one of the little buzzards along the side of the road? You just nearly run over them because they start hopping and jumping and jumping. Because they have a very difficult time getting into the air from the ground. So we're often hindered from serving God by the lack of God's intentions for our life. Are we hindered because someone told us, you can never do that? Worst thing that a parent can do to a child in their youth is to say, you will never amount to anything. If you've ever done that, you need to repent fast, both to the Lord and to that child. Maybe a grown adult now. But when we don't have a knowledge of God's intentions for us, it's hard to ever be what God wants you to be. Another scripture. In the book of Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19, it says, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four things I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, no legs, no feet, but yet it can crawl on the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea can float without sinking, and the way of a man with a virgin. Now he says, these things are too wonderful. My mind has a hard time wrapping around them. I'm giving you some information today because it's important for you to know. The body of an eagle was made for flying and for strength. That's what God intends for us. Mounting up with wings as an eagle. The eagle has been used by many nations in time as their emblem. Charlemagne, Napoleon, Rome, United States. Many ball clubs and so forth have the eagles. Have any eagles? Uh-huh. And they mount up pretty good. But the eagle is a symbol of strength, of freedom, endurance, and power. I mean, over and over in the Bible, he's using the eagle as an example, as an illustration for you and I to have understanding about and to how it is applicable into our own lives. The bald eagle, which is really not bald, his head is white, it is appears to be bald, has a wingspan of 6 to 8 feet when they're grown. They look like they're huge and they're big, but they generally weigh from 6 to 14 pounds. And generally, which is unusual in the kingdom of the birds, the female is the largest. I didn't say anything. They have 7,000 feathers. Now, if he can count the hair on our head, surely he can count the feathers on an eagle. An eagle has 7,000 feathers, which they weigh about 21 ounces. He didn't carry a lot of excess baggage around. No weight that hinders him. His feathers are fascinating. You know, we learn how to fly and design planes by watching a bird. On those outstretched wings of that eagle, the covert feathers are on the leading edge of the wing. Therefore, for lift. When you study, look at a wing of an airplane, it's not just flat. It curves over and goes back. And the wind passing over that wind, falling off, it creates a lift underneath the wings. And then you have the primary feathers, which are on the wingtips, therefore reducing the drag. And then you have the secondary feathers that are for creating a drag. You get ready to land, you have to give it a little flap. You have to slow that thing down. You have to set it on the ground. And God designed this eagle in such a beautiful way. They live to be 40 years of age. They're considered to be mature at 4 or 5 years of age. Get this, they mate for life. Couldn't we learn some lessons from that? Eagles mate for life. If in a storm or someone accidentally kills an eagle, they may find another mate, but otherwise their mate for life. They come back to the same nest every year. Down on my family home, for the last number of years, there's a pair of eagles that builds a nest in this big, it's a dead tree. And this nest just keeps getting larger. It has sticks in it as big as your arm. And the closer you get into it, it gets finer and finer until finally when she lays her eggs in it, it has the most comforting feathers or anything that she can find to put in to line that nest. But I've gone down there and watched. One will be sitting on the nest. There'll be another out in the tree somewhere that you can barely see, watching, observing, looking out to get two are better than the one, you know, even in the kingdom of God. Two are better than one. They can fly 40 miles an hour, and as high as 10,000 feet, 2 miles. airline passenger planes have reported them at 10,000 feet. They have two eyelids, clear eyelids, because from 10,000 feet, they can see movement on the ground. And they close one clear eyelid, which protects from any spark of dust or something that might get, and they can descend as fast as 100 miles an hour and pick up their prey, and they're gone. Amazing birds. You wonder why God says, I want you to mount up on the wings of an eagle. The eagle's ability to overcome the law of gravity by stretching out his wings is a lesson for us in how to rise above the law of sin and death, which Romans 8 and 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. To be able to break away, the Holy Spirit has likened us and our Godward aspirations to like an eagle. The eagle can be very tender toward his young, but it can manifest great hostility toward anything that tries to interfere. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, he says, as an eagle stirs up its nest, and it hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, and carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign god, or led them, and there was no foreign god among them. This scripture pertains to the children of Israel when God brought them out of Egypt. As an eagle stirs up her nest, hovers over her young, spreads out her wings, taking them up and carrying them on her wings. So she builds her nest on the highest peak, on the rocks or the trees, for three things: for protection, for sight, and the ability to lift, to fly. And listen, some of the reasons we have a problem of getting off of the ground, we built our nest too low. We have too low of expectations and aspirations in the Lord, so that we can have very little lift generated because we're scratching around in the dirt like chickens. Now, when these little eaglets, I think is what they're called, when they are ready to be trained in the way of the eagles, they have everything necessary to fly, but they're not trained. I've seen it happen a lot of times. Young people, old people, they say, man, I've got everything I need. But they're not trained. Nothing more dangerous than somebody running out without being trained in the things. Although, ever have that problem, Brother Joe? They haven't been trained to fly. The little eaglets can get so comfortable in their nest. Your kids can get comfortable in the nest too. I didn't say that. Grandkids can get comfortable in the nest too. They have to have a little help. And that's what I'm going to. The little birds get so comfortable in all that softness, just sitting on the nest, and mama and daddy bringing them a fish or a bird or something and feeding them, and all they have to do is dump out the bones. protected when there's danger. And I believe the Lord cares for and he protects us through many things. But there comes a time when we have to be pushed out of the nest. Mama Eagle will stand on the side of the nest and she will stretch her big wings out and flutter them around, and little birds look at them and say, "What in the world is happening to Mama?" She is training them. They don't even know they have wings. But when the mother eagle or the father eagle stretches those big 6-foot wings out, and the little ones are looking there and they begin to be curious, and maybe they begin to say, "Well, do I have some of those?" And they begin to flop. But they still don't want to try it on their own. Now listen to me. There comes a time when we have to be pushed out of the nest. Somebody says the thrill of flying begins with the fear of falling. The thrill of flying begins with the fear of failing or falling or making a mistake. And if you're dealing with that kind of fear this morning, let's let the Lord deal with it, because you'll never learn to fly as long as you have a fear of failure. Listen, some of my greatest strengths today as a result of failure. Or making mistakes. Or somebody even saying a word that cut deep inside. But you will never learn the joy of forgiveness until somebody has hurt you. He said, don't just love those who love you. You love the unlovely. You forgive those who have hurt you. Because if we're not willing to forgive others, listen to me, neither can our Heavenly Father forgive us. If any one of us have unforgiveness toward anybody for anything, and we can't say, "I surrender all, I forgive," listen, God, as much as he desires, cannot forgive you. To me, that's a terrifying thought. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 3:1 and 2, he said, And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able. Refusing to get out of the nest. All of the bewilderment and frustrations we have in life, I know you don't ever have any of those, but I have them. But the bewilderment and frustrations has been caused by someone who loves us the most. And one day, they push us out of the nest. Mama Eagle says, they're never going to get out of this nest on their own. So that little bird sitting up on the side of the nest, and all of a sudden, Mama Eagle says, "Shoom, get out of here." And she pushes them off. Now, I'm telling you the way it is. She pushes them off the side of the nest. That little bird starts falling and tumbling and rolling. And all of a sudden, the eagle swoops beneath the little one and bears it up on the wings of an eagle. Isn't that just the way the Lord deals with us? In the midst of our fall, when we're about to crash, God moves beneath us and he lifts us up and he sets our feet solid. Being borne up on the wings of an eagle. We learn by watching, getting all of our comfort zone removed. we began to feel the uncomfortable pricking of the sticks. And one day we're pushed out of the nest. I think this is about 75 days of age when that begins to happen. And so with a sudden thrust, you're on your own. Why does the thrill of flying always begin with a fear of falling? Exodus 19 in verse 4, the scripture said, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how that I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you out to myself. Oh, they thought they did it. God said, I was the one that delivered you from the hand of Pharaoh. I was the one, as it was, brought you out on the wings of an eagle and planted you firmly in a land that wasn't yours. Regardless of where you are today, success in your ministry, in your job, in whatever it is, you didn't get there by yourself. There came a time when you were pushed out on your own. Kids say, well, you love me, you wouldn't do that. No, because you do love somebody, you're going to push them out of the nest. So until you begin to soar, you will never know the privilege of being born an eagle. How being born an eagle and you're down here in the yard scratching around in the dirt with the chickens. One day you come to an understanding of what God's destiny for your life is. And somehow or another you manage to stretch out those wings. And you began to flop them a little bit. You get off of the ground. You jump up on the stump or up on a fence or post or something. And you finally get enough of lift that you can move across the yard. Listen, God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. We have a lot of comfort preaching today. But God is interested in your character. What kind of a man or woman, boy or girl, are you or do you want to be? So until you begin to soar, you'll never know that you're an eagle. The push was the greatest gift that your mother and father could ever give you. It was the act of supreme love that one day they pushed you out of the nest and said, it's time that you take responsibility for your actions. We were created to soar and to be free. To find the wind currents that are as much as 2 miles high. And when that eagle finds those currents, does very little flopping, does very little work, she is sailing on the currents of the wind, which is the Holy Spirit. Oh my, it's a task if you're trying to do the work of God in your own strength. But when it's the Holy Spirit, that's why Jesus said, don't depart from Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. And then you're going to be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts. He never intended for us to be to the guttermost parts. He intended for us to be the uttermost parts of the world. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3? Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus responds to him, unless a man is born of the Spirit, he won't be able to see these things. Nicodemus said, how can that be? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. And he said, the wind blows where it wills. You cannot see it, but you can sure feel it. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about the wind blowing, he was talking about the Holy Spirit blowing in his life. And so that is the eagle Christian, or the one that's soaring up above. We let the wind of the Spirit get beneath our wings and bear us up into the heavenlies. So just like the eagle can soar 2 miles into the sky and plunge to the earth at 100 miles an hour, and because of his design, he can make an immediate turn and go back without hitting the dirt with his food in his mouth. Now, how much do you want to fly? Remember Enoch? Before his death, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible says he was not, for God took him. How much do you want to please God? Enoch soared into the heavens. Remember George Mueller prayed and food was on the table when there was no possible way that it could be had. It was said on one occasion that he was on a steamer going from England to the United States, and somewhere before they got in range of the United States, he had an appointment in New York that he had to keep. And the captain came to him and said, sir, I'm sorry, but because of a dense fog that is blown in, we're not going to make it in time for your appointment. And George Mueller's response was, we will see. And he went and began to pray. And the fog lifted miraculously, and he kept his appointment. Now, that's written in some of his works as a true testimony. Are you in a fog this morning? Does everything look hazy to you? You don't understand what your calling is, what God has for you? Listen, he wants to lift that fog. He wants you to have clearness of understanding and clearness of vision and sight. God wants to lift you out of it. Every eagle has a downtime. I don't want to misrepresent. Every eagle has a downtime, but not a quitting time. I remember growing up on the farm when about every year all the old chickens would go into a molting season. Man, you look at them and they didn't have a feather on their bodies hardly. But after a little while, those chickens were the most beautiful chicken. They put back on new feathers. And they begin to lay eggs again and all of that. Listen, an eagle they have to have a downtime. They sometimes are sick. They also go into a molting period, but they never panic. I am told that when they go into the molting period, they find a rock, a cliff, and there they sit for weeks, sometimes even months, almost to the point of death. And they take their beak and they pluck out all of the old feathers that had become worn and tattered from years of flight. Maybe this morning you have some feathers that have become worn and they're tattered, and you need to pluck them out. The only way that your strength can be renewed like an eagle is to pluck out those old things. Painful. To pluck out those feathers stuck into the wings. After they plucked out the feathers, then they take their beak, which has become dull from hunting and so forth for the year, and they sharpen it. They beat it up on the rock until the beak is worn off and it grows back with a hook in it so they can once again do what an eagle does. Are the talons, the claws on his feet, they become worn out. And so they began to grow back new and fresh so he can reach up and pick up his prey and soar away. Listen, all of us have to have a downtime, a divine downtime. When you're not discouraged, when you're not in dismay, is when God is renewing your strength like an eagle. Anybody need your strength renewed? I mean, it happens more than one time. They find a rock and they sit there and just let the sun shine in on them, and they bring healing to their bodies and so forth. Listen to the power of the light of the Son of God that shines into our life, that can bring healing to your soul and to your body. Sometimes it's just finding your place and letting the Lord renew your strength. Psalms 103, verse 5, we read to you earlier. Your youth is renewed like the eagle's. I've just told you how an eagle's strength is renewed. He plucks out all of the old things, and then all things are made new. He can soar again into the heavenlies, 2 miles into the surface, as he did when he was a very young bird. Having your youth renewed as the eagles. And when the feathers grow worn and broken, he finds a place and he has something to do with this. In time they grow back. His strength is as good as ever. Now if you find yourself this morning in a low place, if you find yourself cast down, you're in a state of panic and you want to start running. Listen, the Bible says in Psalm 41, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. Eagles know when it's time for them to die. And you know how they die? They find the highest peak they can get, generally in the cleft of a rock. And they look straight into the sun. And that's the way they die. Listen, that's the way we ought to die. When it comes that time, we ought to find our place looking straight into the face of the sun, the S-O-N. And there's no fear of death when you're looking face to face with the sun. If the storms are raging around you this morning, when there's a storm blowing, where there's hurricanes or whatever, the eagle lifts her wings and she soars above the storms. And while it's raging down here on earth, the eagle is in the sunshine. That's what God wants us to do when the storm is raging. And listen, there are storms raging in this world. And unless we're prepared and with knowledge, we're in for some tough times down here on earth. But listen, spread forth those wings and let the Lord lift you above the storms that are raging down here. And he'll have you in the presence with him above the storms. So it doesn't matter to me what others are saying. God has called us to higher heights. Some would say, why do you want to go to Cuba? There's plenty of people right here in Tyler. I've heard that a lot of times. I want to go to wherever the Lord calls me because that's where he's put me. You can stay down here with the chickens if you want to. But God has given you an eagle spirit. And he wants you to stretch out your wings and begin to fly, soar, with the greatest of ease. No flapping, just on the wings and the wind currents of the Holy Spirit. Greater works than he has done, you will do also in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I can do all things. Say all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're here this morning, you're in a fog, you're still scratching for bugs and worms, the eagle finds her food fresh every day from the lake or somewhere else. She doesn't feast on the dead stuff. God is saying, come up higher. Don't murmur and complain. Say, God, you have looked over my needs. No, God's just waiting for you to get out of the nest, or he's going to push you out. And then you're going to complain about not having a job. You're going to complain about not having this and that and the other. God said, I told you to get out of the nest, so I push you out. And when you learn to trust me and to mount up with wings of an eagle, then you'll be renewed. Now, I don't know what to do with what I preached this morning, but if there are those here this morning, and I know there are because I've been watching your faith, watching your response, you said, that's me. God wants to meet you right now. And he wants to lift you up to higher than you've ever been before. I'm not telling you lift you up higher where you're not going to have challenges in your life, but you're going to have answers to the challenges. I'm not telling you that in this life the best is still, but in the Lord's life the best is still to help, still to come. And I'm sure that there's those that will pray, and I will pray with you. And somebody going to sing or whatever we're going to do this morning. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead, brother. And let's all stand together. And if you'd like to come for prayer, come on down. I'll be here. We'll pray for you, and others, as the need is, will come and pray with you.